I think so.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the March 4th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Before we start the formal calendar this morning, we have a proclamation, and I think we have Debbie Castleton, Megan Furtall from our women's affinity group here. Come on up. We have a proclamation, and I bet some comments on the importance of this proclamation from a couple of women that work in this organization and advocate for opportunity for everybody. It says, whereas residents of this region know that its greatness and success is a direct result of all residents, regardless of gender, making creative, intelligent, and revolutionary contributions to society. And whereas women have been historically underrepresented, yet have played and continued to play important roles internationally, nationally, regionally, and locally in furthering knowledge and promoting positive social change. And whereas to foster the next generation of women, the City of Portland seeks to encourage and support professional, educational, and social opportunities for women in order to ensure that opportunities may not have existed in the past are available in the present and into the future. And whereas Women's History Month is a time for all Portlanders to remember the stories and teachings of the many women who made and continue to make improvements for the livability of the city, region, and world. And whereas during Women's History Month, all Americans are encouraged to reflect on past victories and struggles of women to create a society where our daughters can reach their full potential, unobstructed by gender. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim March 1 to 31, 2015, to be Women's History Month in Portland and encourage all citizens to observe this month. So congratulations on this observance and welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Hales and Council. My name is Megan Furtall. I'm an employee for the Revenue Division for the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. And I recently accepted the honor of being the chair for the Women's Affinity Group for the city. Thank you so much for having us here today and formally proclaiming and celebrating Women's History Month for March. The Women's Affinity Group for the City of Portland has organized a variety of events, starting with our kickoff breakfast that was yesterday here in City Hall. And we'll have social hours, craft events, and panels to remind and educate city staff on the roles of women in creating the city that we live in today. For 2015, the national theme of Women's History Month is weaving the stories of women's lives and presenting the opportunity to weave women's stories individually and collectively into the essential fabric of our nation's history. I have a few events that I wanted to share with you today. We'll be holding three panels that highlight female city employees, the first being a police panel featuring the women of the Portland Police Bureau tomorrow, Thursday, March 5th. Another panel featuring women leaders in our government, which will be Wednesday, March 11th, and the final panel featuring women in Portland Fire and Rescue, and that will be Tuesday, March 24th. We will also be holding a Story Slam event on Tuesday, March 17th, and encourage all city employees to come and share personal or professional victories, focusing on themselves as a woman or an amazing woman in their lives. Lastly, I want to encourage you and all city employees to nominate female mentors, leaders, exceptional coworkers for the Wonder Woman Awards. For me, personally, it's a very important event. It's very significant. It's very special. It's important to say thank you. It's important to recognize others for their hard work, their dedication, and their talent. And the Woman Awards do just that. So the nominated women will be honored Tuesday, March 31st, and all of the events that I spoke about will be from noon to 1 at the Portland Building's second floor auditorium. And I look forward to seeing you all there.
Great. Thank you.
Council and Mayor Hales, I am Debbie Castleton. I work in the Communications Division for the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I also volunteer my time to chair the Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland, as you know, is DEEP, for the past 9 years. DEEP's mission is dedicated to enhancing a work environment that is inclusive and supportive of the City of Portland's diverse workforce that is committed to quality public service. And I want to share some numbers with you all. Portland, Oregon's population is 50% female. The City of Portland employees are 41% female, and 35% of the managers and supervisors are female. Commissioner Fritz's office is made up of 71% women. Commissioner Fish is 44%. Commissioner Saltzman, yours is 64% women. And Commissioner Novick, yours is 62% women. And Mayor Hales, your office is made up of 66% women. I think it's a good example of leaders leading by example. There are approximately 10 bureaus in the city that are led by women. Of those 10, here are the top three percentages of women-led organizations and the high percentage of women employees. The Bureau of Housing is 73% female workers. The Emergency Communications is 67%, and Planning and Sustainability is 63%. The top three bureaus with higher percentages of women employees that have male bureau directors are Fire and Police, Disability and Retirement at 94%, and Revenue and Financial Services with 64%, and Parks at 57%. The two bureaus with the lowest percentage of women are the Fire Bureau and the Bureau of Transportation. Historically, these two bureaus have been male-led. However, both have newly appointed female leaders. Chief Jansons and Leah Treat both work very hard to recruit women into the predominantly male organizations. Chief Jansen has been a standout leader by example in working with young women in Portland Fire Rescue's fire camp for girls between 16 and 19. Now on to the wage gap. Nationally, women typically make only 78.3% or 78.3 cents for every dollar a man makes. In Oregon, women make 81 cents to the dollar, and African American women and Latinas make even less than that, with African American women 64 cents to the dollar and Latina women at 56 cents to the dollar of white men. Washington, D.C., women fare best at 91.3 cents for every dollar. And you can learn more about that at the whitehouse.gov about equal pay for women. But I just want to say both Megan and I would like to thank you for the opportunity for proclaiming March as Women's History Month. It is valuable both personally and professionally to educate, discuss, thank, honor, and grow from the events that occur during these empowering months. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think I had a chance to tell you this story, but last year during Women's History Month, we had a national conference here of this organization called the Women in Transportation Seminar, which, of course, has a chapter here in Portland. And one of the reasons they came to Portland is because we've had such an active chapter. And so, you know, I got to do what I often get to do with a visiting conference, you know, welcome to Portland. And so I had a little fun with it. And some of our bureau directors were there, or quite a few people from PBOT were there. But I started off and I said, you know, welcome to Portland, the only city in the country with a woman transportation director. And I paused. Well, that's not true, of course. It was my friend Robin Hutchison from Salt Lake was there, and there were a bunch of cities that went. But then I just went down the list, you know, and a woman planning director, and a woman emergency management director, and a woman city attorney, and went through the whole list. And, of course, at the end I said, and wait for it, a woman fire chief. Top that, Minneapolis.
That's great.
So all you other upstart progressive cities, but it was fun because you know, the reason the conference was here was because of the professional advocacy of women, particularly in PBOT, but also in TriMet and some of these other organizations, doing this kind of peer support work. And so the reason that WTS came wasn't that we had that list of bureau directors, though they enjoyed hearing about it, but because of the work of professional women within this organization and those others had really advanced into a field, engineering, where women have been really underrepresented, have made a lot of progress thanks to that work. So thanks for you. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I want to throw a comment in if I can. First, I want to brag on Debbie. When BES does a project, typically in combination with PBOT, we send out a newsletter to the affected community, and Debbie is often the person who signs the front page, and she's come up with a model that has a personal note from her with her phone number and her contact information to personalize the relationship between the people we serve and the Bureau. And recently, she sat down with Elders in Action, and they gave us additional pointers about how to improve the communication, including font size, the shading, the way information is organized. So I want to thank you for that. Debbie, as you know, my wife teaches women's history at Portland State. And she worked with Melody Rose to set up a program that honored women in leadership. And it led to the archives of people like Gretchen Kefauri being placed at PSU, and it led to autobiography of Senator Gordley and many other projects. But to your point about women in leadership, I just want to offer an observation. There are many ways in which we can strengthen opportunities for women to serve in leadership. We have a program in our office where we reach out to PSU's Women Leadership Program and say, could you send us qualified candidates? So that's one way of getting that pipeline. But the other one is when we do searches for key leadership positions, making sure that there are no barriers that prevent any qualified applicant. The last two directors of the Housing Bureau were outstanding women leaders, but they weren't chosen because they were based on their gender. They were chosen as the outstanding people to lead the Bureau in a process which did not put any barriers in their way. Once upon a time, my law school had less than 50% of the class, graduating class, was female. And one of the barriers that they identified was that women were choosing to have families and come back to law school at a later age. And they were considered non-traditional candidates because they were coming in their 40s and 50s. And law schools were routinely saying, we don't want students that are older, we want younger students. Why? Because the longer time you practice and built up your practice and your earnings, the more likely you were to be a better donor to that law school over time, right? But that was saying to women who chose to take a time out and chose to raise a family that they were not valued as much as any other candidate. Today, Northeastern Law School is 60% of the graduating class is female.
Excellent.
So remove the barriers,
yep,
and allow women to compete equally with everyone else, and so that's important. And I just think we have a lot of work to do both on pay equity and on removing barriers, but it should not be the exception that the most qualified person selected to lead a bureau or to be a chief of staff or to serve in some other senior position is a woman. It should be the norm, not the exception.
I agree.
So thank you for your good
thank
work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I have to reflect that it'll be a great day when we can have Women's History Month or Black History Month and think, gosh, weren't they strange back then? Now what you're telling us is, of course, not news to us, and it's helpful to be reminded of those numbers. A couple of days ago in the New York Times, there was an article that started, fewer large companies are run by women than by men named John. A sure indicator that the glass ceiling remains firmly in place in corporate America. Amongst chief executives of Standard & Poor's 1500 firms, for each woman, there are four men named John, Robert, William, or James.
Wow. Whoa. Wow.
We got a ways to go.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you.
Other comments? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Proclamation for you.
Good work.
Thank you.
I'm afraid we will in a moment. But. Thanks, ladies. Good work. Okay.